Does it see you all? I'm starting to talk like Marie. I gotta watch that.
Y'all.
Y'all. The message today is kind of different. During this Christmas time, I've had just thoughts of going to my grandparents when I was younger and thinking about visiting them when over the Christmas holiday, and every time we would go there, it didn't matter whether it was my Italian grandmother or my German grandmother, both of them, there was always food everywhere. I mean, just piles on piles of food. And of course, with my Italian grandmother, eat, you know, that's you know, with the hand out and, you know, manja, that's what she would say, manja, eat, and there was always plenty to eat, and especially at Christmas time, had these special Italian cookies, so I was reminiscing about all of those good times, and it was a good feel, and I thought, you know, food can be so satisfying, you know, and Rich and I were saying before, bacon is at the top of the list. There's nothing like bacon. The smell of bacon, the taste of bacon. Rich said to me, there's only one thing better than bacon, and that's wrapping it in bacon. So, I mean, that's just how it is when it comes to that. I mean, you're outside and you come in and your husband has cooked up some bacon and you smell that. Oh my gosh. It's just the greatest smell. Isn't it? It's the greatest smell. But any kind of food, you know, it's just, there's something that all of us really like. We all like after the service heading in that direction over there. Because there's food. Food does something for you, and it sustains us. And you know, we've got to cut down on the cookies, though. But you know, other than that,
cookies are better than bacon.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure you could. You can just think of the things that, you know, food. I was just thinking last night as I was finishing up the eggnog that we had at the house. Smooth, you know, smooth. Just what a rich, wonderful taste. You know? You know what I'm saying, right? You know what I'm saying. And food is there for us to enjoy, but it's there to sustain us. And food, eating the right kinds of food, balanced and all of that, help to make us stronger, to sustain our life. We can all, you would all agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You know, that food is good. There's some people in this room even who, you know, they eat to live, but there's a bunch of other people that live to eat. You understand?
Amen.
What I was thinking, just you too.
Yeah.
So, so now we're going to just, with all of what was just said there, now we're going to switch gears and I want to talk about some scripture. I want you to turn in your Bibles to either Matthew 4:4 or Luke 4:4, because it's the exact same words. Matthew 4:4 or Luke 4:4. And this is something that Jesus says here, and this is something that's important for us to get today. People that live to eat or people that eat to live, it doesn't matter. Food is important. And it says here, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what?
Every
word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that God is speaking to us a lot during the day. A lot. Little ways he's talking to us. You know, this is something that we really can be feeding on. Right? We're not to live just by what we're eating, but by this other kind of bread that we eat. The spiritual food. The spiritual meat. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. This is where real life is in the spiritual food that we are eating, that we're partaking of. And we get this a lot from one another. We feed one another when we're talking, when we're doing things, when we react or not react to something, and we see it in somebody else. There's a spiritual food that we're partaking of, right? Isn't that right? When you see how a person is being patient with someone else, with a child, with a spouse, whatever, and you don't even know that that person doesn't even know that you see it, but you're getting fed by that because wow, God bless them, and then you think and you reflect on yourself and you go, I need to be more patient. I need this or I need that. And so we're feeding off of how God speaks to us, because it's what proceeds. Isn't that what we just read? That we need to feed on what proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the way that God speaks, yes, it's in His Word, but He speaks to us in our minds. He speaks to us by what is going on around us and what people are saying and doing and speaking to us too. Isn't that right?
Yes.
We have a feast. There's a feast for us every day of our lives. But I think we forget that. We're missing that a lot. Where we should really know that you know, God is for us. Who can be against us, right? He is with us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to increase in our love and knowledge of Him and one another. And He's always there to feed us something, to give us that morsel that's going to hit the spot, right? He wants to do that for us. Wow. He wants us to eat. Let's listen to what he said as we go along here. Well, maybe before I get to that, just, you know, this is actually part of this little series about times of stress. How do we get through these exceptional times of stress? And the greatest thing is to feed on Him. Just relaxing and feeding. But yesterday was a really laid-back day for Kathy and I, and we were downstairs in front of the fire, and just very, very slowly, just relaxing and drinking coffee and snacking on this or that, you know. It was just relaxing. Yes? And God gives, food is a wonderful thing. Boy, isn't it great when the taste stays in your mouth? Huh?
Unless it's licorice.
Chocolate? Unless what?
It's licorice.
Oh, well, if it's black licorice. Then. All right. So here's this thing. Luke 11:3, don't have to put it up. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I know that we all understand that God's saying, yes, He will provide so we can eat and sustain ourselves, our physical bodies. But you know, when we pray that, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we need to also be understanding and thinking, God, give me that food that I need today. What proceeds out of your mouth. I want to hear. I want to not only hear. There's passages of scripture where an angel or God tells a prophet, take the scroll and eat it. Right? Gotta eat the book. That John is told in the book of Revelation. Take that little book, take that small book, and eat it, swallow it, and it's going to be bitter. It's going to be bitter, but then it's going to have a sweetness to it afterwards. You know. So there, we're to eat. We're to be aware. We have to be aware to be able to understand. Oh, I'm going to take this in. I'm going to ingest this into my heart, right? 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5 says that they ate the same spiritual meat and drank of the same spiritual rock, which was Christ, right? And it goes on and says that, but some people didn't do too well. They got overthrown in the wilderness because they weren't paying attention to what God has. They complained about the manna. Right? That manna. Where did that manna come from? Huh? Yeah, it says it came. It was from heaven. Right? So. They complained about it. In John 4:32-34, Jesus says, I have meat to eat that you don't know about. And then he goes on and says that his meat is to do the will of God and to finish God's work. Yeah? Would that be for us too many? Yeah, I would think so. John 6:32, the last part of 32 up through 35 says this, My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The true bread from heaven. True food from heaven. And we get this. We're getting it every day. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven. This is Jesus, right? And gives life unto the world. I wonder how much life, how much sustenance I've missed because I wasn't partaking. You know, if somebody set a big plate of cookies in front of Joe, he wouldn't. If there wouldn't be any question, he wouldn't just sit, be looking around, and no, he's gonna see. He didn't go. Oh, there's something I like, and he's going to reach and take a hold of it. Now, when we're talking about spiritual food, it's the same thing, isn't it? this food that comes from heaven, this what is uttered from God to us, what God wants to speak to us, we've got to pick it up off the plate and eat it. Don't we? And it goes on and says, this gives life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life.
No, question don't need answered now, Rich.
Okay.
Because I was going to go back to Luke, you know, where he said, give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that daily bread Jesus? I mean,
yes.
Last Supper, when he was breaking the bread, this is my body.
This is my body. I was going to get to that, and that's exactly right. In Luke 11:3, you know, he's the bread.
Yeah.
Right? His body, what he did, the body that was broken, the blood that he shed, in other words, the whole act of salvation that Jesus accomplished. And what he did and how he was going to live in us and speak to us and build us into the people that he wants us to be. This is all part of a taste and see what? That the Lord is good. Yeah, amen. Amen. I want it. I want more of that. Right? I want more of that. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. And then what Kelly just said, I was going to say next, but that's absolutely true. I like this in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. So, you see, it's not only having a knowledge of the ways of God and the teachings that are in the Bible and us to conform our life to his instructions and his commandments, but it's also us seeking and desiring to be righteous, to be right. Right? And it says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Mm. You ever get up from the table with that nice, good, filled feeling? Yeah. There have been days where I haven't eaten a lot of food, physical food. I have felt so full of the joy of God, of the knowing His presence. There's been many days where I've felt filled and thankful that God is in my life, is in my family's life, in our life. Right?
Yes.
That talk about eating and being filled. Right? So, here are some last couple scriptures here, and then I want to actually hear from people here. In Luke 14:15, Jesus is talking to somebody that's sitting down at the table with him, or reclining with him, and having a meal with him. And as they're talking, Jesus says to him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Mm. What is that going to be like? Mm. And we're closer today than we were yesterday to that. Mm. In Revelation 2:7 and 2:17, it says this: "He who overcomes will eat from the tree of life." And 17 says, "He who overcomes will eat the hidden manna." So the Jews had the manna that they ate, but there's something that's invisible, that isn't seen, it's hidden, it's unknown in a lot of ways to people around us, but we can partake of that hidden food, that thing that comes to us from God because He's speaking to us, because He's putting His finger on our heart and changing us. Isn't that? That's just a beautiful thing. And the Lord spoke to me and said that there were other people that had some nuggets of food to say today. So I'm really interested to dine on some things that you have to say. Okay? Kathy had something, and I thought I'd start off with this. This was something that she said really was impressed on her. Where's my bottle? She had been getting this thing about the fear of the Lord. And I'm just going to read you this. So this is just kind of like a smorgasbord right now. We're having a smorgasbord. So we're going to dine on the different food that some of you want to place out on the table for us to grab a hold of. Yeah? So here's what Kathy was talking to me about. It says this. I'll just read the first few verses here, Psalm 112. "Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house." Now, this isn't money. We're talking about spiritual riches, right? You understand that. "And his righteousness will endure forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright." When all the, you know, with all the darkness, all the things that are happening in this world, it's great to be in the light. It's great to be the light, to be able to be examples of God to the world. Isn't that right? "He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment." In other words, when he stands before God, this person who fears the Lord, a person who fears the Lord, when he stands in judgment, God's going to go, "Good job." Right? That's what that means. Maintain his cause. Verse 6 says, "He will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings." And there's plenty of them around today. Plenty. But he will not fear that. His heart is upheld. He will not fear. So I thought that was really something for us to hear today. I really appreciated that Kathy had really impressed that upon me. I'm gonna have maybe a couple others.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
The Lord speaks to you, right? And you're feeding on that. Please don't be shy, because we want to feed each other here today.
Yeah, I got something. I got
In Proverbs, after what you could talk about, Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings.
Yeah.
Right? So you're focusing, right? You're paying attention. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Right? So you say, like, don't get distracted. Right? Stay focused.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Right? So if we do that, we're going to have health to our flesh. So not only spiritually, but physically,
yes,
going to have health to our flesh. So when people say, like church is non-essential and stuff like that, this kind of indicates, like, there is some essentiality there, right? Like it's important for our flesh, you know? And,
yes.
And for our life, so.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. I have something
else?
Yep.
Sharon.
Yesterday I called my stepmom. She's been at the nursing home for, I don't know, maybe 3-4 years now. Maxine Newby. And she sounded a little down. And I said, Maxine, are you okay? Are you ill? Well... And you could tell she was struggling. She doesn't usually do that. I usually call her up. She's very upbeat. Her kids call her often.
Yeah.
But she, like everybody else, has been all by themselves since March. It's absolutely sickening. She was depressed.
She
admitted it to me. And so I think, as a church, we need to gather ourselves. We have to do. And so I think if you know people in the nursing home, if you don't know people in the nursing home, find out where they are, who they are, send cards, call, send them some love. This is what we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
And I feel that we're not really up to the challenge. And I think we need to motivate. We need to move. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was depressed myself at Christmas. I thought it was the worst Christmas I think I've ever had. I mean, you're not, the board's not overflowing with food. You're not doing things with family. And sometimes family is not that, they're depressed themselves or whatever. They don't give you what you need to get either. And so we need to pull ourselves out of ourselves, mm-hmm, and get out there and do something. And
yes,
I think our elderly should be the top priority.
Yes.
I really do.
Yeah. Not too long ago, we had a thing that we talked about in the elders and deacons meeting and brought before the body in terms of a ministry to the elderly. And so,
Malcolm, we can't hear you.
Yeah,
here.
Thanks. Mic's not working.
My mic isn't working?
I don't know if the mic shut off or the
volume
went down.
That might be the battery
dead. You can talk into the mic.
I talk into it. Just push the mic closer and see if it just moves.
Okay. Hello?
No.
Nothing.
It's starting kicking out, so it might be the battery.
All right.
Thanks, Debbie.
I guess I'll use this. Yeah, there we go. As Bai wanted to really minister to the elderly, and some of that's happening, like what Sharon's saying, just encourage more people to think of that on their own. It doesn't have to be through any kind of program or anything. We want it to be something where it's spontaneous. Get together, call people, and if you want to have more than just yourself to go visit, we were out in front of the Coos County home not too long ago, just being there, and we prayed outside. Of course you can't go in, but we just prayed outside, and people come to the windows and they see that there's this group out there, and you wave and they're waving, and it was really wonderful for them. And then they go get some other people, so it was nice that way. And cards or whatever, anything where we can reach out, because that really is a ministry that's very needed right now. That's for sure. Anybody else have anything you want to share?
Yep.
So there's often times where I just want to quit Facebook because you all know it's so easy to get caught up in the politics and all that other stuff. But I love the memories. When your memories pop up and you're reminded of places that you had been. Yes. So this is from December 27th, 2014.
Oh.
6 years ago. Found an old journal last night before bed. After reading it, I've realized a few things. I wasted over half my life worrying about things I couldn't change and wallowing in much sorrow. I have always believed in God, but didn't feel His power until He grabbed my heart a few years ago. I'm thankful He did, because the freedom I feel now is sometimes indescribable compared to the emotions I experienced before He was in my heart that were so debilitating. I pray God uses me to help show those who suffer from depression or anxiety that there is hope. I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you? And my favorite version of that is actually from the Amplified. I think sometimes we need those few extra words to help let it sink in. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. I think, you know, as you were saying too, Sharon, this time of year, we tried so hard to just focus on the Advent season and studying the names of Christ. But with all the news and everything in the media, it definitely was a struggle. But I just had to keep pressing in. And, you know, it was a great feast to fill our souls this season, this last month or so, with the names of Christ and focusing on who He is and what He did for us and really pressing against that. So.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Gary?
I wasn't going to what? I guess just in this particular time that we're in, if we're all believing that we are in the last days, just a question that we can all ponder on is, what does the Lord want us to do as an individual, as a church, for non-believers and for our brothers and sisters? Where do we go in this troubled time? What do we do? Do we keep going on our merry way and earning our living, or if we're retired, doing this or that? Or is there something more? Is there something more that He wants us to do? And I think His Word tells us. But are we really seeing it? Maybe. But I think for the most part, the most people I see and talk to and all that, they're not seeing it. We are, just like in the days before Christ came here on earth, there was signs and there was things that people needed to prepare themselves for and all that. Were all people there seeing and preparing? Well, now we're going into... we're preparing for Christ to come back.
Yeah.
So, how much more? Have we learned anything from the scriptures we read and from previous times, like when Christ first came to fulfill, the scripture and saving us? What do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to look. And I think a good part of it is to pray for the revival and a great awakening.
Yes.
There's a lot of eyes that are closed, and they need to be awakened.
Yes.
Who does the awakening? Could it be us? And the revival. That's something I feel dear in my heart.
Yeah. Diane.
the verse you just repeated, Jen, that is my heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I'm listening to Gary, and I'm saying, you know what? Wake up, people. Mm-hmm. Call on the Holy Spirit. That's the answer, Gary.
Yes,
call on the Holy Spirit. Because he's got it. He knows what direction we've got to go in. He knows what we have to do next. He knows everything. And without the Holy Spirit, we're sitting here wondering, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to do it? Who do we go to? What's happening? Like what you said, Sharon, I just found out that my dear friend Don Rich is in the nursing home, shut in there. He can't see anybody. He can't talk to anybody. So now he's got COVID, and he's in another room, down the hall, wherever. He is so depressed. And these people are so depressed. And even I was told, his daughter said, just call him, Diane, just call him. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to call him, because just your voice, like you said, just the voice, just uplifting him. You know, he's a dear man that worked with Raymond, and our families were very, very close. And we love each other. And this just hurts your heart so much when you hear about these people. And you know what? That's our calling, to go out and find these people that need to just hear your voice, that just need an uplifting. You know, God's got it. And it's, are we listening, hearing from him? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? And that's where we're at, I think, right now, is are we in tune with the Holy Spirit? And we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And if we don't understand, we better reach out and find out how are we to get in tune with the Holy Spirit. That's our answer, I believe, today. Because we're in such a place, and without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be able to stand. We're not going to be able to walk. We're just not going to be able to talk. Nothing. So I think that's our answer. Get in tune with the Holy Spirit.
You know, I think too, that... We're all different. God has different callings, different emphasis for each of us as individuals. We don't have to just sit and wait for something where we're all doing something together. That can come, will come, and we're going to know it because we'll be listening to the Spirit. But the Lord is doing many different kinds of things. He's going to lead some people in one direction and other people in a different kind of direction. And both of them are going to be the direction God has. It isn't like there's just one way that it has to be done. There will be times where we're going to be all together in a particular thing. But
I think also just hearing, you know, hearing is where it starts, right, Diane? But doing is the next part, right? Like you can hear from God, or but if you're not doing what God wants, and if you're distracted, you don't even hear from God, then you're gonna have a problem. And I think that's a lot of what's going on.
Yeah.
Right now. Malcolm.
Yeah, Malcolm. Yes.
Going along with all of that, you know, Jesus being our example. He received his power from his time spent with God, with the Father, you know, in quiet. And I think that's a real key for us, too, that as we hear, then we have to be obedient.
Yeah.
So much, I think, of what goes on within the life of our lives and the life of the church is how we see ourselves with God. On days when we feel strong or we feel good, we feel powerful to say prayers, to go to the people. But when we don't, we tend to shy away from it and stay away. And we get too much thought inside of ourselves, and it doesn't translate into doing anything to be of help in his kingdom.
Right, exactly.
And I want to encourage everyone in Isaiah 62, in the first 5 verses. I'm not going to read that. But God,
I was going to end up with that.
Well, God declares a new name over us.
Yes.
He says you are not forsaken.
Yes.
That you are Hephzibah. The Lord delights in you.
Amen.
And let that go down deep in our spirit. Not in our head, but in our spirit.
Yes.
We will see ourselves completely differently in that our circumstances do not define who we are, whether things are good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
Hephzibah, the Lord delights, in you.
Yes.
In you. And go forth with that knowledge, and it will carry us through so many things and so many days. Because of the strength of that, because we, like Jesus, have to spend time with the Father, energized by the Holy Spirit,
yes,
so that we can receive what He has, so that as you receive, so freely give. And you know, a spiritual law, which you probably won't find in the Word, but one of the real spiritual laws of life is you cannot give what you don't possess. If you have no peace, no hope, no joy, no grace, no one else will ever see that in our life. Mm. But when it's there, when that fruit is there, it will become evident. You won't have to tell people you're a Christian. They're going, my God, right. You've been with God.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened with the early church. They didn't have to tell anybody. People can look at them and see, you have been with God. Yes. And I think leading into a new year, that's one of the things that we should encourage each other with is,
yeah,
you've been with God. He says He delights in you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to call Him a liar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So be blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, son. All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Chocolate.
Yeah, that was excellent, Chocolate. Thank you.
It's also what comes into my mind is that, sorry, I'm shaking. Oh, my goodness. Is that we are not going to be popular when we do, I feel anyway,
yeah,
when we do what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do.
Yeah.
That He does want us to call upon Him and to be our strength. And in our weakness, He's made strong. But the Bible also tells us that we are going to look odd to the world if we are doing His will. As the world, whether you want to call it end times or whatever you want to call it, I feel as if it's clear that we're seeing a darkness in this world that is so spiritual that it's very hard to say that there's not spiritual warfare and battles that we know as Christians are there.
That's right.
But non-Christians, I feel like even can say, whoa, something's going on here. And they might look at it as crazy people, but we look at it as this is a real spiritual. Mm-hmm. So I think that I have to cling to the Word, as you talked about today, Malcolm. Not the cookies or the Oreos or that smorgasbord as we're talking about, which so often leave us with this empty feeling.
Yes.
And then we fast those things because we've worshipped them. And what we get fed with when we're being fed with the Word is never an empty feeling. It's always what's going to sustain us, but it's also going to make us uncomfortable sometimes. It's also going to make us perhaps feel in our gut that we're going to do things that are not popular. And then to kind of bring that around to the elderly and visiting the elderly, that even the masks and even the virus and even not being able to see our loved ones in the nursing home, I feel like we need to push back against that.
Yeah.
I really do. It was not popular for us to go get Nani at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And touch is important to these people.
Yes,
yes, a voice is wonderful. But when a person has difficulties in their mind, difficulties in their sight, difficulties in their hearing, which we live with every day with our Marie, they need touch. We all need touch.
Yes, we do.
The Lord gives us families as this basic unit and relationship. And what does He want from us? A relationship with us.
Right.
We can't do that over the phone, Jess. You know, for us to, I just feel like Satan is, well, he's working in so many ways and watering down what the Lord gave us as gifts.
Yeah.
Relationship, touch, and all of these things he's watering down and putting fear into us. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I know we're all called to do very, very different things, but it's just that thought, overarching kind of theme and thought for me that we are going to lose people that we look at as friends, I feel, and have already as a family, by looking a bit radical, by doing things that they would look at as odd. Why would you go get your grandmother from the nursing home during these times when you could give her COVID? Well, because she's almost 90, because she needs touch, because I've never spent a Christmas away from her, nor do I long to do that. And because of her own words and our words as well, she would rather not be here. She would rather die of COVID the day after Christmas than she would
you know, spend it without us.
Right.
So I think it's really just, for me, it's a calling, Heather, we're not going to be popular. Perhaps your family is going to look radical. Cling to me. Cling to my word. Sometimes you might have some Oreos, but cling to my word, because that's what's going to fill you with what you're going to need to be content on.
Yes. Yeah.
I was thinking of, you know, when I started with the Hulk Hogan thing. Now, Hulk Hogan, flamboyant, right? Like, he's always been flamboyant. He was like a wrestler that was flamboyant. He wore wild clothes. He did wild things.
Yeah.
Everybody accepted that. When he put out that statement,
oh, yeah, I bet.
You should see some of the responses to how crazy Hulk Hogan is because of that statement.
Yeah.
And that is what you're talking about. It's like looking weird to the world, right? So you can be weird in the world, but you can't say anything Christ-like in the world. And then you get criticized for being weird.
Mm-hmm. I find the biggest problem right now is people are falling into the fear.
Yeah.
They watch the news, they look at the, always on the internet. They're always looking to see what's going to happen next. Instead of keeping their focus on God, like Sylvie and I don't watch the news. I don't read the stuff on the internet. I don't even indulge that much on the internet. But it's still, there are people around us who are so fearful, they won't come to church. Or they're so fearful, they'll just stay home. Or they'll go to their friends instead of coming to church. To me, it's God needs to shake people up. You can live in fear, but if you're in God, there is no fear. I mean, we know something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We don't know what, so we have to live accordingly.
But continue.
Yeah. You don't stop living because the news says that this is what's going to happen.
Well, the news has been lying since forever.
Right.
So has the government. I mean, ever since the early 1900s, who trusts anybody except Jesus?
Well, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Who said?
Well, hello there from out in California. Nice. Nice to see you.
Good to see you guys.
You know, you're talking about dining on God's word and feasting on it. And I was reading something yesterday, but the simple thing is God's voice the loudest voice in your life? There's so many things, like Joe said, competing for you, for your hearing these days, I guess. And sometimes you got to really listen well.
Yeah.
In the reading yesterday, Elijah was depressed. And God said he would reveal himself. But he wasn't in the wind.
Yes.
He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. But then at the end was a little whisper.
Uh-huh.
If you've got all this noise in your life, sometimes you just can't hear what he's saying.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
You know, and can I just say, Heather, I just want to say amen to what you said. We have to push back. We have to push back, or we're going to be run over by everyone that's telling us what we cannot do. And, you know, Chloe and I pushed back, and we got on a plane, and we flew out here to visit and be with our daughter out here, and our husband. And people were saying, what, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Why are you doing that? Why are you going on a plane? Why are you going on that bus? And you know, I said, you know what? Because the love I have for my daughter is greater than the fear that everyone is trying to push into us.
Right. Yes.
And I'm not going to stand for that. And I think we need to... Heather, you're right. We have to get our elderly and care for them. And Sharon, what you said is true. We have to lavish on them what they're missing. So, however that's going to be, and the prayer, the letters, the cards, the phone calls, bringing them out of the homes, if we can. We can't be living in fear.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm gonna end this with a scripture that I wanted to read, and Chuck, it's in Isaiah chapter 62. I'm just going to I won't read what you did, but I'm gonna read some other verses
that I think are important that I need for myself and share with you. To me, this has been a great smorgasbord. It's important for us to hear what the Lord is impressing on every one of us. Don't you think? That's a good meal for us to hear this instead of only hearing or just only eating the steak. Maybe it's good to have some guacamole.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Well, not for Joe, but most of us would probably like the guac. Anyway. No. All right. Here's what I want to share with you as some food. On your walls, O Jerusalem, this is starting in verse 6. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now that was a particular thing that Isaiah was talking about. But there are things that we need to be watchful of, that we need to be on guard about. And we can't relent. We have to continue. There has to be something where we can get worn down by events, we can get worn down by things, and we don't feel like we have the energy to even say things sometimes, or to even muster up the faith or the belief for a particular thing that you want to pray for. But he says, don't stay at it. Have that prayer. Stay at the prayer. That's going to make a big difference, isn't it? And then jumping down to verse 10. Go through the gates. Clear the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Lift up the standard over the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. We've got to have hope for people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And somebody said it. If you don't have hope inside of you, or the degree of hope that you have, you can't give any more than that to other people. So it's important that we have it.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. These are the people, the kind of people that God wants in the end time. People that are not going to be shoved off into a corner and not do the things that need to be done. Not fearful. You understand? And I thought this was a fantastic smorgasbord of good spiritual food. Insights. And the things that were spoken through the Word of God that feed us and give us encouragement and strength and a broader wisdom of things. And how to look at situations. I thought it was just wonderful today. So, Lord, we thank you today that you are the bread of life, and that you feed us. You're always feeding us. You're always encouraging and uplifting us. You are our bread. Lord, we thank you today. We ask, Lord, that we just have ears to hear and hearts that are open to continue to dine at your table, to truly be filled to overflowing, pressed down, shaken down, Lord, that we would have so much to be able to give that's from you to others. We thank you, Jesus, today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The song we're going to be ending with is All Hope in Jesus. Seems appropriate.
Yeah.
But anyways, we'll do Joys of the Church.
somebody pass out the mic? Anybody feel? Thank you. It's off right now, Matt.